Well, good morning, everyone. Very warm welcome on a gloomy old day. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. And our collect for this morning, which is on the pew sheet: Lord God, defend your church from all false teaching, and give to your people knowledge of your truth, that we may enjoy eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And this gospel reading is from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 37, and I'm using Tom Wright's translation. He's a bishop and a scholar. And these are two different occasions when Jesus healed people. The first is up north, far north from Judea. The second one is back in Judea. So Jesus got up, left that place, and went to the region of Tyre. When he took up residence in a house, he didn't want anyone to know, but it wasn't possible for him to remain hidden. On the contrary, news of him at once reached a woman who had a young daughter with an unclean spirit. She came and threw herself down at his feet. She was Greek, a Syro-Phoenician by race, and she asked him to cast the demon out of her daughter. The children have to eat first, Jesus replied. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Well, Master, she said, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that the children drop. Well said, replied Jesus. Off you go, the demon has left your daughter. So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Jesus went away from the region of Tyre, through Sidon, round towards the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and asked that he would lay his hand on him. Jesus took the man off in private, away from the crowd. He put his fingers into his ears, spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, groaned, and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately the man's ears were opened, and his tongue was untied, and he spoke clearly. Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more they spread the news. They were totally astonished. Everything he does, it's marvelous, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May we bless your grace to us all, O Lord. Amen. Our three readings today challenge a particularly weasel way of thinking about other people. It's a mindset which ignores or looks down on those who are poor or physically impaired. And that applies not just back in biblical times, but in any time. And Jesus not only preaches against all that, but continually takes action against it. And I wonder if we could look again at the reading from Mark, especially that first healing. Because we hear of many people that Jesus heals, but often, I don't know if you feel the same, I want the gospel words to slow down. so I can take it all in, and especially to absorb the sheer awe of what is taking place, which is God's power at work through Jesus, and how boundless our sense of God needs to become. I have to say, though, I have no theological training, so what follows is, as it were, a rather tentative view from the pew. Anyway, here goes. First of all, some background to follow on from last week's gospel that we heard. You remember that in Judea, Jesus had been speaking to a large crowd about what was strictly ruled as unclean to eat. He said, "What goes into you from outside can't make you unclean. What makes you unclean is what comes out from inside." So it wasn't just good enough to feel smug following the rules. He insisted, "What you are, what you say and do is more vital to God than any kind of food you eat." But this was really risky to the thought police of the time, the stricter Pharisees, not all, the stricter ones. It sounded like undermining the whole belief system. In other words, the very identity they thought they had as God's people. So Jesus travelled north, far away from Jewish lands, to lie low for a while. But up here, relations between Jews and non-Jews were pretty bad. Jews generally despised these non-Jews as dogs with their foul pagan ways, while the Syrians and the Greeks saw Jews as weird and big-headed with just one god, instead of all the multiple gods that everybody else had. So Jesus doesn't want to draw attention to himself up here. He must focus his energies on God's task for him, to rescue Jews back into true relationship with God. And he must know it. His own time is so short. So there's no point in preaching up here, north. Certainly no healing in public, nothing else which can be used to blacklist him. And what about the woman who seeks help? Well, she's a mother with a young daughter. We don't know how young, but I think pretty young from the description, with what's described as an unclean spirit. Now, that could mean anything. A girl who's just behaving uncontrollably, whether it's from mental problems, or it could be just that the girl's in such pain that she can only thrash about and scream. I'm sure you know that feeling as a parent or grandparent, that gut-wrenching note of child anguish that jars everything inside you. The mother must be distraught. Nothing she does can calm her daughter down. And what's it doing to her husband? Other children in the house, family, the neighbours, hearing all this screaming. So the mother is helpless, desperate. And then there's a rumour of some healer in town. But he's a foreigner, a Jew. And Jews won't help non-Jews, will they? But she tells herself, she's got to try. Somehow she finds him out and throws herself down at his feet. Just imagine that, in front of a stranger, not just kneeling, but throwing herself down on flat on the ground. He can't ignore that, can he? Begging him to cast out the demon from her daughter. But Jesus replies, "The children have to eat first. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." In other words, Jews come first. Maybe that sounds harsh to us, But maybe that's a dangerous distraction from his task, from God, which is to rescue the people of Israel, rather than one pagan woman who has no faith or knowledge of the one true God. To heal someone was to remove whatever blocked fullness of life with God. And for Jesus, it was also to challenge the mindset that dismissed poor or sick people as God's rejects. But all that didn't have traction up here, away from Judea. So what possible connection could there be between his father God and this heathen woman? After all, it was not his mission to be a universal medic. Jews must come first, for now certainly, others later. But for the mother, this must be a tremendous brush off. I imagine the two of them looking into each other's eyes, and for a moment, time seems to stand still. Then, while she accepts what must sound like total rejection, she finds a humble answer, and in Jesus' own terms. "Well, Master, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that the children drop." It's not clever, this reply. It's saying, "I need something, even just a little, just a scrap of help from you." It's so honest to him, this pleading for her daughter. It speaks from her very center. And that surely touches the response of God in Jesus. And he knows inside himself that God's power has now been drawn into action. He welcomes what she said, and with so much warmth, and tells her the demon has left her daughter, which is what she finds running home. So, how might this encounter relate to you and me now? Well, maybe that woman stands for us when we pray, whether that's at crisis times or just our everyday praying. Behind her appeal to Jesus is her honest-to-God neediness and her refusal to give up. And a person-to-person connection happens between them. And Jesus responds in love. And it's the same for us, surely. When we are honest to God in prayer, a connection is made, and we can trust that. We don't have to understand how. Whatever that connection may lead to, that's out of our hands, but we can trust the connection. Now, I'm sure all of us in church have had crisis moments in body, or especially in spirit, either for ourselves or indeed for others. Well, here's one of mine. 8 years ago. It's night time on my ward of six other men in the Lister Hospital. I'm post-operation, but threatened with another really, really risky operation. The beep machine by my bed that keeps me going has stopped its beeping. I can't get to sleep. And panic, yes, panic sets in. How am I going to get through the night? And even more, I might not survive all this. Even worse than that, the man with advanced cancer on my right is approaching end of life, and he's in real agony. He's tossing and turning, writhing about, moaning, but he can't find his buzzer. I think it's probably he's lying on it. He can't find his buzzer to summon help. Now, I'm fastened down by about three or four tubes here, there, and everywhere, and I can't get up to help. So I pressed my buzzer again, 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 and no one comes. So I pray and I pray. What else can one do? And I hope that a connection is taking place. What that connection may lead to is out of my hands, but I have to trust that connection, that anchor. In the reading from James that Angela gave us, we're urged to put our faith into action. And the one that Ben read talked about the poor and the needy in need of help. So there are things we can do in our daily lives to put our faith into action. And I think we're not only given prompts for that, but also given help in all sorts of ways. Some of you may remember Patience Purchase, who led an occasional service in our church here. And Angela and I, we went on about 3 pilgrimage tours with her. Well, I've held on to one thing that she said from that very pulpit. She said, "We all know that life is not a bed of roses, but we're not alone, and we have bread for the journey." And I hang on to that, and I commend it to you also. We are not alone, and we have bread for the journey. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.